Good morning. So good to see you this morning. Thank you, Vance, for leading us in that wonderful singing this morning as we are making our way to the Promised Land. I love that song. This past weekend, for those who had an opportunity, we had a great opportunity given to us by God to come together as Brother Don Blackwell delivered those powerful lessons about the work of the church, about our responsibility. I hope you are able to be here, but if not, I want to reassure you that you can still listen to those messages on our website. If you haven't had an opportunity to hear one or any of those lessons, please take a moment, a few moments, and to hear what Brother Blackwell brought to us those evenings. This morning, we're going to continue our thoughts from Matthew chapter 5. As Jesus began his Sermon on the Mount, as we commonly refer to it, Jesus spoke to that crowd that day, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And verse 6 is what we're going to key on today. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for God's righteousness. In 1996, a young Marine corporal named Joey Mora was standing on the platform of an aircraft carrier at sea while they were patrolling the Iranian Sea. Incredibly, he fell overboard, and you may remember hearing about that several years ago. Well, his absence was not known for about 36 hours. He was lost at sea for almost 2.5 days or 1.5 days before they even knew he was missing. A search and rescue mission began, but was given up after 24 additional hours, because no one could survive in the sea without a life jacket for more than 60 hours. His parents were notified that he was missing and presumed dead. The rest of the story is one of those truth is stranger than fiction events. Scriptwriters in Hollywood would pass up on such a script as being unbelievable. But four Pakistani fishermen found Joey Mora after about 72 hours of being lost at sea. He was treading water in his sleep, clinging to a makeshift flotation device made from his trousers, a skill that I have heard was most military learn as a survival training. He was delirious when they pulled him from the water into their fishing boat. His tongue was dry and cracked, and his throat was parched. And just about 2 years after those events, he spoke with Stone Phillips of ABC Dateline. In it, he recounted the unbelievable story of a will to live and survive. How many of us would have given up? How many of us could have endured that torturous time at sea? He said that it was God who kept him struggling to survive. His discovery by the fisherman makes searching for a needle in a haystack a piece of cake. how lucky or blessed he really was. We know the sea is a big and vast place, not a place to get lost. The most excruciating thing of all, though, as Joey said, was that one thought took over his body and pounded in his brain. That thought was water. How ironic that that's what he thought about. But he was so thirsty, so parched, so, if you will, hungry for water. When we look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, we need to think of it in those terms, as that same kind of thirst and longing and desire that Joey Mora had for water. That's the kind of thirst and angst that we should have for God's righteousness. As we think about hungering and thirsting for righteousness, we understand that righteousness is the will of God. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 is a passage that we have looked at in our Thursday morning classes as we've looked at angels. We know that Luke chapter 1, an angel comes to a man, named Zacharias, who was one of the chief priests. Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth had no children, for she was barren. She was beyond what they thought childbearing days would be for her, that those were not in the picture for this young lady. And so her and her husband lived their lives assuming that they would not have children. However, we know that changed when that angel visited Zechariah and told them that they would indeed have a son. And we know that son quite well as John the Baptizer. But I want us to look at verse 6 of Luke chapter 1 and notice why God chose this man and this woman to bear such an important figure in the history of Israel. Verse 6 tells us, "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." You see, Zacharias and Elizabeth had prepared themselves, not knowing what they were preparing themselves for, but they had prepared themselves to be servants of God. And they did so by being righteous, upright people. A man and a woman who obeyed all of the commands of God. And I love the end of verse 6. It said that they obeyed blameless. Wow, what an amazing statement of faith. How I would love for Jesus and for God to say to me on the day of judgment, "You have been blameless." Now look at my life, and that's going to be a hard thing to say of my own merit. But it is something that which I must strive for, something that you must strive for in your life as well if you want to prepare yourself to be a servant of Christ. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Notice what Paul wrote to the Romans. When he looked at his life and his servanthood in the church, he wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. No longer would man be separated by lineage. It no longer mattered who your parents were. What mattered was faith, was a belief in God that moved you to action. Notice as he continues in verse 17, for in it, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the righteousness of God. And that righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. We share it together. You and I, as members of the Lord's body, share in the righteousness of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We support, encourage, exhort one another. In doing so, we uphold righteousness. He ends by saying, the just shall live by faith. Faith and righteousness cannot be removed from one another. They are intermingled, and God designed it that way. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Notice Psalm 119, verse 172. Psalm 119 and verse 72, the psalmist wrote, my tongue shall speak of your word, for all of your commandments are righteousness. May we all be able to speak those same words. May those words arise from our tongues, that for all of God's commandments are righteous. Do we want to be righteous? We must go to God to find that righteousness. Are you hungering and thirsting for that? The second thing we notice here, first we notice that the righteousness, or that righteousness, is God's will. Number two, that you and I, as fellow believers, must long to do God's will. The story is told of a young student who went to his spiritual teacher and asked the question, Master, how can I truly find God? Ever wondered that yourself, or had someone ask you that question? The teacher asked the student to accompany him to the river which ran through the village, and invited him to go into the water. They got into the middle of the stream. The teacher said, please immerse yourself in the water. The student did as he was instructed, whereupon the teacher put his hands on the young man's head and held him under the water. As you might imagine, the student began to struggle to come out of the water. Yet the master held his head still longer. A moment passed and the student was thrashing and beating the water and the air with his arms. Still the master held him under the water. Finally, the student was released and shot up out of the water, as you might imagine. He came up with his lungs aching and gasping for air. The teacher waited for a few moments and then said, when you desire God as truly you desire to breathe the air you just breathed, then you shall find God." That young man had a lot of desire in his heart to come out of that water. He wanted to get up. and he was fighting for that heir. Do we fight like that for the will of God? Do we fight like that to discover what God desires of us? For that young man, everything in his life was put aside. His one focus was getting up. Please let me up. I remember one time when I was a young child and we were at the lake and we were out of the boat swimming, and I didn't know how to swim. So I was told, stay close to the bank. Now, if you've been in lakes and rivers much, you know sometimes the water just, or the land just smoothly goes down deeper and deeper. Not always. Sometimes it goes down smoothly, and it drops off. And you have this huge pocket. One day I was out, or when we were at the lake, I was playing and whatever, and everybody else was doing something else. And I was getting closer and closer and wandering out. And just all of a sudden, whoosh, I went down. I can tell you, I've never fought harder for anything in my life like I did that day to get back up out of the water and on the beach. I had one desire. One focus, and I focused. We must have that kind of focus in our lives. In the passage that was read for us in Psalm 42, and I appreciate Justin sharing that passage, but if you would, let's read it one more time together. There's a pretty popular devotional song that was developed from this verse, verse 1 specifically. But the psalmist wrote, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? That idea of panting. Anybody's had a dog understands about panting. Your dog ever get hot, they get thirsty, and they begin to pant, and that tongue will come out, and you know, and they start panting. There's a strong desire for water. And that dog or that deer or that animal is going to begin to search out a water source. They're going to be focused on that one thing. The soul that truly thirst for God's righteousness, that truly thirst for God, will put that same kind of desire and single-mindedness upon finding God. That's something in our lives that we must desire for ourselves. Psalm chapter 1. And I want to look specifically at verse 2. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2. But his delight is in the law of God, and in his law he meditates day and night. And in verse 3, it goes on to say that he shall be a tree planted by the rivers of life. You know, trees plant themselves deep into the ground. That's the same idea that the psalmist has here for the one who finds the Word of God. That he plants himself there. That he builds himself up from there. His delight is in the law of God. What is it that we delight ourselves in? Is it in God's will or is it in something else? Jesus himself said in John chapter 4, after meeting with a Samaritan woman, and then having the disciples come and begin to question him, and shortly after, they discover he hasn't eaten. And in verse 31, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. The disciples were all concerned about their day-to-day needs. They were so focused on the worldly things that Jesus is trying to get them to understand there's a bigger picture. He's not saying that he wouldn't eat. That's not the point. The point is he's trying to get them to focus on, instead of being so concerned with the day-to-day needs. You know, Matthew, as Jesus preaches the Sermon on the Mount, he tells his disciples that day, don't be anxious for anything, because God is going to provide. Don't worry about the things of the flesh, because God will take care of those. What was important, what they needed to hear was that you need to focus on the spiritual things. I have enjoyed so much Patrick's Sunday morning series on my walk. You know, and one of the things that was pointed out in class and something that we should focus our lives on is that, are we a spirit? Are we a body with a spirit, or are we a spirit with a body? It's an important question to ask. It shows how we view life. It shows how we view our Christianity. Because in reality, we are all spirits with a body. And so as he said this morning, we need to be concerned about feeding the Spirit. Because when we feed the Spirit, we feed ourselves. When we feed the body, we feed what we're in, not who we are. What are we feeding? Where's our focus? What is it we truly thirst and hunger for? In Acts 17, verse 11, it is written of those of Berea that they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. Why? Because they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. What's amazing about what's said here is these are the ones who heard the Apostle Paul. They were able to hear him preach to them. What an amazing thing. Can you imagine that? Getting to hear the Apostle Paul preach. What's even more amazing to me is the attitude of these Bereans. These low-down scoundrels were taking the words of Paul and making sure he was preaching the truth. Just because he was the Apostle Paul, they didn't take his word for it. They searched the scriptures to find out if those things were so. They were ready, willing, hungry for the word of God. They were hungry to be servants of God. They were desirous to be Christians, not just in name only, but in practice. Do you and I readily receive the word of God? Do you and I hunger for the word of God? We looked at righteousness is God's will. And we also have looked at we must, as Christians, as fellow followers, long to do God's will. And the third thing that I want us to consider is to beware lest your desire be stifled. Luke chapter 8, verse 14. The text tells us in Luke 8, 14, now the ones who fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. In Luke chapter 8, we learn about a parable that Jesus tells about a farmer who's going out to sow seed. And he's going along and he's throwing the seed out. You may have one of these at home, but I've got a fertilizer. Looks like a wheelbarrow with a bucket. Got a hole in the bottom. And when you push a button and that hole opens up, and down below is a wheel that turns. And you can gauge that to how wide or narrow of a spread you want. But you can put grass seed in there or fertilizer, and you can walk through your yard and you can pull the handle, and that hole will open up and the seed or fertilizer will go down. It'll fall down and it'll hit that wheel. And as that wheel spins, it'll shoot it out. And it spreads it all over the place. And that way your yard gets full coverage. It's kind of the ideal here. The farmer is sowing that seed and he's getting a wide spread. And that seed is falling all over the place. And you know, ground tends to change. Some ground is nice and fertile, whereas some of us may have rocks in our soil. Others may have real hard-packed soil. You've been to the desert, you know about hard-packed soil. Sun just dries it out. It has no water, no moisture in there. And that's why plants don't grow. And then there's some areas maybe in your yard where it's really has a lot of weeds and thorns. And things, you try to plant something in amongst those, what happens? It won't grow. That soil's moisture and nutrients are already taken up by all these other things. So what you got to do? You got to come in and clear it out and plow it. Well, that farmer's going around and he's planting that seed, and some of it falls on that good soil, and some on the rocky soil, and some on the hard-packed earth, and some in among the thorns. And in verse 14, it tells us that seed that fell among those thorns, it got down into the dirt, and it began to grow. Well, as it grew, those other plants began to take up the nutrients and the water. And that seed, that plant that came forth from that seed, didn't survive. It didn't reach maturity, to fruit-bearing maturity. It was stifled. It was stifled because it was caught up in everything around it. The Word of God was sown on your hearts. Today you have another opportunity to hear the Word of God. And it's going to be sown in your heart. And the one thing you and I have got to ask is, what kind of heart do we have? What kind of soil is the seed finding as it comes into our lives? Is it a rich, hungry, and thirsty soil that's hungry and thirsty for that seed, that's prepared itself to receive the seed, to implant it within its heart, so that it may flourish? Or are we the kind of seed that, or the kind of ground that receives the seed, but man, I've got so many other things in my life. I mean, I can be a Christian. I can be a Christian, but now, you can't ask me to quit doing all these other things. I've got a lot of interest in my life. My job is really important to me. My family. Oh, now don't you go there. Don't you talk about families. I love my family. I can't make anybody upset. My hobbies. I love my hobbies. I love doing the things I do. Do not ask me to change those things. Yeah, I'll come on Sunday and I'll contribute to the contribution plate. Okay? Okay? You got me. But now, don't ask me to do anything more than that. A heart like that has stifled its desires. A heart like that is not thirsting and hungering for the will of God. That young man, as he come up, he had a thirst. He had a hunger for air. And he was going to fulfill that. He was going to fulfill the need of his lungs. Do you have that kind of desire for the word and will of God? Do you have that kind of desire to do the work of the Lord's church? Paul told the Thessalonians in chapter 5 and verse 9 of his first letter. He said, "Do not quench the spirit." You ever done any camping? Made a campfire. I remember we used to go to camp when I was a teenager. And we would get those huge fires going. And everybody would go out and we'd have a fire, a nighttime devotional time. And maybe they would roast s'mores or something else. And a huge fire. And it took forever for that thing to get out. And a lot of times what you'd have to do is just pour water on it. I'd help quench it and cool it down. If Si was here, he'd tell you all about being a fireman and what it means to quench a fire. I'm afraid sometimes as Christians, we quench our own fires. Or we allow others to quench our fire for us. I can't believe what they said to me. Well, I can't go back there anymore. Can you believe what they're doing? Or maybe it's something else pulling you from the world. Somebody in your ear telling you, you don't need to be a Christian. Don't go waste your time. That's stupid. That's foolishness. Somebody quenched your spirit. Paul gives us the remedy to a quenched spirit in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, he says to the church of Ephesus, you know, after he said all these good things about them, then he says in verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have one thing against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, from where you have fallen, repent." And you remember Don shared with us a wonderful message on this idea of repentance. Sometimes we get mixed up. We think repentance is all about actions. Actions are the result of repentance, but repentance is a change in our thinking. It's a change in our outlook, our worldview. A lot of people feel like they've repented because, well, yeah, they come to church and I do a few things and I put some money in the collection plate and I'll open up my songbook and I'll pretend like I'm singing. That's not repentance. That's not what he's talking about here. Repentance is you need to change your heart. You need to change the way you think about your service to God. You need to take on the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." That's repentance. That's what it means for the Ephesians to repent. You have fallen from your first love. Might we say, you have quenched your spirit. The true fire of what you were to be doing, you've allowed the world to quench. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless, notice he repeats it twice, unless you repent. Righteousness is God's will. We, as Christians, must long for God's will in our lives, to do the will of God. Beware lest the world snuff out your desire. Beware lest you snuff out or stifle your own desire. This morning, are you one who hungers and thirsts for the righteousness of God? Are you hungry and thirsty for a change in your life today? And I don't mean what we know as thirsting and hunger. I'm talking about what that young man felt as he was at sea for 72 hours. Can you imagine the thirst that he had? Do you have that same kind of desire for the will of God? Or have you quenched your own spirit? Why not make a change today? Don't leave knowing you have passed up another opportunity to make it right with God. You're not a child of God. You sit this morning without hope. And Patrick shared with us 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13 this morning, when Paul wrote, "For the greatest of all the gifts of God, and the three which remain to this day, are faith, hope, and love. All of those things are found in Jesus Christ." Do you want to have hope today? Do you want to know the hope of Jesus Christ? You can. You can change. You can be someone different. You don't have to be the same person who walked in here this morning. If you're not a child of God, why not become one today? Why not be immersed into Christ? All you have to do is respond in faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Go to the Word of God. Find faith in your heart. Then respond in faith, confessing Jesus as the Son of God. Confessing Him. Repent of your sins. Change the way you look at your life. Change the way you look at your actions, at your attitudes, at the way you behave. Imitate Jesus Christ. In responding in faith, be immersed, because it is in baptism where our sins are forgiven. Acts 2:38 clearly tells us, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Are you ready to have your sins forgiven? Are you a fallen child of God? You too walked in here without hope. You who find yourself outside of Christ once again, you don't have to leave in that condition. You can change. You can change your destiny. You can change your hope. You can become a hopeful person again. But you can only do that in Jesus Christ by returning to Him. Confess your sins. Ask for forgiveness. Do you have a need, any need? Please come as together we stand and sing.